I'll now call the meeting to order. Please note the assistive listening devices that we use for council chamber are available upon request from the clerk's office or also from the people down to my immediate right. Please ensure that all cell phones are turned off and placed on silent. And I will now call on Councillor DeBoer to start the meeting with a prayer and lead us in national anthem.
Help us this day to run with patience the race that is set before us. May neither opposition without nor discouragement within divert us from our goal. Inspire us both of strength of main and steadfastness of purpose, that we may meet all fears and difficulties with unwavering courage, and may fulfill the quiet fidelity the tasks committed to our charge.
I'm going to tell you, Tony, that was very nicely done. You're going to give Carrie a run for her money. She's got a good voice, too. So. Nicely done. Thank you so much. I would like to begin by acknowledging the land on which we gather, which is the form of the town of Caledon, is part of the Agentis Treaty lands, the territory of the Mississaugas, the New Credit. We acknowledge all Indigenous people who have walked on this land in the past and who walk it today. We are grateful to have the opportunity to live and work on this land, and by doing so, we give respect to our First Nations. Is there any disclosure of pecuniary interest? See none. I will now move on to confirmation of minutes held at the meeting of July 10th, 2018. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Early, that the meeting's minutes dated July 10th, 2018 be approved. All in favor? Carried. This is really the first official meeting after the 10th. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Early, that the council meeting minutes dated December 4th, 2018 be approved. All in favor? Carried. Okay, is there any urgent business matters that we need to have brought up at this point in time? Councillor DeBoer. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Downey, that section 7.4 of the procedural bylaw be waived to permit an urgent business matters regarding December 11th, 2018 General Committee correspondence regarding the petition for the provision of municipal water services. Any questions? This is on the Black Horse Estates, right? If not,
this is the petition we got.
Yeah, the petition that we had at the thing. So Nick's just because he just wants it brought forward, yeah. So and referred back to staff. Okay, and probably needs to go on to the region. Oh, just to hear it. Okay, sorry, I'm getting way ahead of myself here. I need 2/3 vote to do that. All in favor? Carried. Okay. Sorry. I'm going to weigh ahead of myself. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that December 11th correspondence regarding petition to provision of municipal water services from the resident of Black Horse Estates be received, and that the petition be referred to the Town Council staff to conduct a review of the planning policies within the Palgrave concerning water services and report back to Council. I don't have any questions, but I have one. This is something that probably needs to be even forwarded to the Region Appeal. You think?
You could if you wanted to, but the main question here within, and even within the petition, is that this subdivision was developed without servicing, and the rest of Palgrave, we have a policy here that says that we require partial servicing or want servicing on water. I think the whole policy issue and where we are at this point in time is the first question that should be answered. When staff provide us as a council with a memo as to what it is, I think that's the point in time which we could refer it to the region, just so that we all know where we're working from, rather than involving the region or regional staff, because they're basically going to tell us if they want water servicing, we'll do it, this is what it costs. Yeah. The reality is I think we need the background information as to how we got to this point with a subdivision in the middle of Palgrave with all private services.
Okay. All right, no further questions. I'll call the vote. All in favor? Carried. If there's no further business, I will now move on to delegations. I will now call on Jennifer Stevens, Toronto Region Conservation Authority, to approach the podium, provide a delegation concerning December 18th memorandum from Peggy Tollett, General Manager of Community Services, regarding update information on the amendments of Credit Valley, Toronto Region, Central Lake, Ontario, CTC Source Water Protection Plan. Please note, in accordance to the bylaw, you are provided with 10 minutes for your delegation. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you. Too far. There we go. Good evening, Mayor Thompson and councillors, members of the general public, and of course staff. As Mayor Thompson mentioned, my name is Jennifer Stevens, and I am the program manager of the CTC Source Protection Region, and therefore the Drinking Water Source Protection Program within that region. And today I will be speaking to you about the protection of our drinking water sources through the implementation of the CTC Source Protection Plan and proposed updates. After the tragic events of 2000 in Walkerton, the province of Ontario took strong action to ensure our drinking water is among the best in the world. Following the Walkerton inquiry, Justice O'Connor made 121 recommendations on a wide range of areas related to protecting drinking water. These recommendations are the building blocks of Ontario's drinking water source protection network. Ontario has a multi-barrier approach to protecting drinking water. The first step at the bottom left is protecting the surface or groundwater that supplies municipal drinking water systems. This is called source protection and implemented under the Clean Water Act. Other components of Ontario's drinking water safety net include strong legislation, stringent standards, as you can see here, highly trained certified operators, reliable and regular testing of our drinking water, and of course, regular inspections of drinking water systems and the labs that test drinking water, and of course, public reporting. Today, in fact, the Chief Drinking Water Inspector released his report on 2017 and the drinking water results from drinking water systems across Ontario. 38 source protection areas were created under the Clean Water Act in 2007, where appropriate, some of these areas were brought together. The CTC Source Protection Region is, in fact, Credit Valley Source Protection Authority, Toronto and Region Source Protection Authority, and Central Lake, Ontario Source Protection Authority. The town of Caledon, of course, falls between Credit Valley Source Protection Authority and Toronto and Region Source Protection Authority. Since the Clean Water Act was passed in 2006, a number of stakeholders have been working together to complete an extensive technical assessment of areas around municipal drinking water systems vulnerable to contamination as well as overuse. Three assessment reports were prepared in the CTC Source Protection Region. Information pertaining to the town of Caledon falls within the Toronto and Region Assessment Report and the Credit Valley Assessment Report, and I do have copies with me today. The CTC Source Protection Plan sets out tools that will be used to address significant drinking water threats to municipal drinking water supplies. The CTC Source Protection Plan was approved by the Minister of the Environment, Conservation and Parks in July 2015 and became effective in December 2015. The CTC Source Protection Region recently submitted its first annual report on the implementation of the plan on May 1st, 2018. The CTC Source Protection Plan, although it came into effect on December 31st, 2015, since that time, municipalities as well as others responsible for the implementation of Source Protection Plan policies have identified where challenges have been encountered, which require amendments to the Source Protection Plan to be made to make policies more practical to implement. Further, since the Toronto and Region Assessment Report has been approved, as well as the Credit Valley Assessment Report, some technical work has been revised and added for accuracy. These amendments will be summarized in the slides that follow. A requirement unique to the amendments process under the Clean Water Act is the requirement to obtain council resolution and endorsement from each municipality affected by the amendments. As you can see here at the very top, Section 34, the amendments before you today are being pursued under Section 34, those that are being initiated by the Source Protection Authorities, both Toronto and Region and Credit Valley Conservation, in collaboration with its municipalities. The slide here shows the vulnerable areas around the municipal drinking water systems in the town of Caledon. In particular, we will be discussing changes to the Inglewood and Caledon East drinking water systems today. The village currently operates two municipal drinking water supply wells at the Inglewood Municipal Drinking Water Systems, Inglewood 2 and Inglewood 3. Inglewood 2, which is here at the bottom, is a shallow well, approximately 8 meters deep, that sits within the floodplain of the Credit River. In 2015, Peel Region began studies to identify a new and deeper municipal well to supply its water, and that would replace Inglewood 2. Inglewood 4, now up here closer to Inglewood 3, was drilled at the Ken Williams Resource Management Area to a depth of approximately 60 meters, so considerably deeper, and is completed in coarse-grained overburden sediments that lie within a buried bedrock valley. And you'll see here that these are the vulnerable areas that have been delineated around the municipal water supply. Immediately around the municipal water well, you'll notice is what's called the WAPA. It's 100 meters and is standard for every municipal well. And then the two-year time of travel, therefore 2 years, for a contaminant to make its way from the edge of that area to the municipal well, then the 5-year time of travel, and then the 25-year time of travel. The second well that I'll be speaking to you about today is the Palgrave Caledon East Municipal Drinking Water System. The new production well is on the right, well 4A, very close to well 4, and has replaced well 2, which is here on the left. And this particular well, well 2, was decommissioned in November 2017. Both well 4 and well 4A are in a confined overburden ground aquifer, while over here on the left, well 3 is in a shallower sand aquifer. So the new well is much deeper than the well it is replacing. This particular graphic here shows another one of the amendments. In the existing Source Protection Plan, and specifically the Credit Valley Assessment Report, you'll notice here there's green all the way down throughout this vulnerable area. What we have has been drawn to our attention through the review of some foundation reports prepared by consultants is there is, in fact, a transport pathway here. And that transport pathway means there's an increased opportunity for contaminants to make its way to the aquifer. And thus, that particular area can increase in vulnerability. And thus, the orange represents a higher vulnerability than the green. Numerical modeling was used to determine the locations of significant groundwater areas in the Toronto and region source protection area. That is, the numerical model was run for a longer period of time. 7 maps have been revised and are now proposed for inclusion in an amended Toronto and region assessment report. The proportion of significant groundwater recharge areas in the town of Caledon has increased by approximately 16%. That's the green area here, as compared to the purple area, which was the existing significant groundwater recharge areas in the approved assessment report. Only policies encouraging the use of best management practices related to the application of road salt and the storage of handling of certain chemicals, are applicable to these areas. As mentioned earlier, a number of policies have been revised as a result of some feedback from municipal staff who've mentioned that some policies are not reasonable to be completed within the timelines as specified in the Source Protection Plan, as well as they have presented as challenges. So there are a number of these policies which impact the town of Caledon. T8 it specifically refers to the requirement to update your official plan to conform to the CTC Source Protection Plan. That was originally to be completed within 5 years, so by the end of 2020. It was communicated by many of the upper tier municipalities that achieving that is just not going to be feasible. So therefore, we've removed the requirement for a 5-year conformity timeline. As well, we've added some text to specify that for transitioning applications that would result in an increase of impervious surface, a water balance assessment or equivalent is still generally required. However, based on the location and the scale of the development, the Planning Approval Authority, which would generally be the Town of Caledon, has a certain level of flexibility regarding water balance requirements. So therefore, the Town of Caledon, working with the Region Appeal, can review some of the applications that come across planners' desks to determine the applicability and the extent to which recharge should be maintained. The other two other policies that impact the town of Caledon, Sewage 3, which requires that that if there are existing lots of record and they are vacant but owned, therefore the proponent still has the ability to install a septic system, even though it might be prohibited in the WAPA, so 100 meters around the well, but it would be left to the Planning Approval Authority to locate that septic system in the best location possible to minimize the risk to the drinking water supply. So, for example, here, we have a number of the vulnerable areas that have been colored based on their vulnerability. So, if you recall, we spoke about the 100 meters around the well being the WAPA A and being the most vulnerable. Based on some of the policies that we've changed, going back one slide here, to the Snow 1 policy, which would be implemented by the Region of Peel, instead of prohibiting the storage of snow through wherever a significant threat could occur, so throughout this red area all the way up here, we would only prohibit the storage of snow in that 100-meter radius. So we are making the requirements less restrictive. And this was a discussion that took place with all the municipalities in the CTC Source Protection Region, still protective of water, but it was decided that it made more sense to manage the storage of snow as opposed to prohibit the storage outright. And my last slide for you today is with reference to the REC 1 policy. I'm just going to jump ahead. In the northern area of Caledon Region, you'll notice there's this red line which extends into your jurisdiction. That is from the town of Orangeville. And this is an area where water use is being challenged, and there are concerns with future water use. And as a result of that, there is a policy that looks at the recharge to the groundwater resources, and specifically that policy text has been revised to make it more reasonable for implementation by removing the water balance exceptions for single family dwellings that represent major developments, so larger than 500 meters squared, and that complies with the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Plan as well as the Niagara Escarpment Plan. But still exempting the majority of single-family dwellings, that is less than 500 meters squared. So therefore, we're trying to reduce the burden on the individual landowner to complete these assessments if they are adding something to their property that would increase the surface area. We've also added policy applicability for agricultural uses, agricultural-related uses, and on-farm diversification uses, where the total impervious surface does not exceed 10% per lot. And once again, that is to decrease the burden on the individual landowner. And with that, I thank you for your time. I do want to draw your attention to our website for the CTC Source Protection Region, which will show up on the screen in a second. This is a resource that can be used by a municipal staff, as well as all of you, are encouraged to look at it. Information about the Drinking Water Source Protection Program, all of the science, the Source Protection Plan information is all available on this particular website, as well as the amendments that have been proposed and submitted to the province are also located here for your reference. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jennifer, and I have some questions for you, and that was a really in-depth report. There's a lot of information that hasn't been said that could be said.
I'm sorry. I made sure I wrote down my notes, so I said what I needed to say.
Well done. Councillor Innes.
Innes.
Thank you.
Yes, hello.
Thank you for coming and presenting. It's a very important topic.
My pleasure.
Some of the newer councillors may not be aware, but your regional counterparts are actually responsible and held liable at the regional level to ensure clean and safe water. So if something does fault, we are responsible. So recently at the TRCA last board meeting, we actually had a very healthy discussion about this. And it's a comment that I want to make, not quite a question, but more of a comment directed towards our staff. We decided that while Bill 66 is on the table, there are a lot of issues surrounding that, but this is one of those issues that we chose as a board to make as a priority in our comments back to the province. Because we are responsible for the clean drinking water, we want to ensure that those protections stay in place. Currently, the wording of Bill 66 allows for the circumvention of the Act, which puts our water in jeopardy and the safety of it. So I just want to make that point. I know that you will be coming forward in the new year with a report on Bill 66 so that we can all have an in-depth understanding and, more importantly, bring comments back to the province. But I think that as a municipality, we need to be very clear on what our key priorities are with this bill, and I think that this should definitely be one of them. Thank you for coming today.
Yes, Jennifer.
Thank you very much, Councillor Innes. I actually helped prepare the dialogue that was communicated to the TRCA board. There was also a report brought before the Credit Valley Conservation Board last week. It was a report that was walked on, which I also provided input to. I will be working with all three conservation authorities who will be all submitting a response through the Environmental Registry, in addition to the CTC Source Protection Committee, who will be submitting a report. We also had a recent municipal implementation working group, and at that time it was communicated to all the municipalities that are responsible for drinking water systems that staff, ideally myself, with the CTC Source Protection Region, will be providing them with talking points and content that they can add into their submissions that they're putting forward to the province so we can emphasize specific comments. I do appreciate, though, you bringing to everybody's attention the responsibility of municipal councillors. And this particular document is called a guide for members of municipal councils. It is excellent. probably one of the best resources that is out there right now. I also spoke with all of the municipal representatives last Tuesday about packages we're putting together for councillors about the drinking water systems that fall within your jurisdiction. Also, resources such as protecting your drinking water sources, which is, instead of 10 minutes, is a Cliff Notes version of everything I said. And hopefully you can use it as a resource. And finally, putting together a slide deck of information to do with the Drinking Water Source Protection Program. And that information will be made available to you in the new year. And I do extend an invitation at this time for me to return and do a more in-depth review of your drinking water systems, if you so desire, later in the year.
Okay. Councillor Sinclair.
Thank you. Some questions through you, Mr. Chair. On slide 6, you mention a Section 35 order and seem to mention failure to obtain some acceptance by a municipality. How does that work?
So a Section 35 order is essentially if the municipality is not supportive of the SPA's and that is the Source Protection Authority's recommendation to make rent amendments to the Source Protection Plan. At that time, we would get the ministry involved because ultimately, as the coordinating body, that is the Source Protection Region staff or Source Protection Area staff, work with the Source Protection Committee who drafted this Source Protection Plan. Ultimately, we're the custodians, or rather similar to the town clerk's responsibilities. We want to make sure that what is being put forward by the committee is, or ultimately the committee is responsible for, is accurate. So if the Source Protection Authority is not successful in getting municipal support, we would go to the minister and the minister could issue a Section 35 order. However, that's less preferable and generally is not pursued. I haven't heard of one being issued. Let's put it that way.
Thank you. Also on slide 6, there's mention of Section 36 update and something rather cryptic, most plan revisions. Now, are you talking about municipal official plans?
No. In fact, in our approval letter that was submitted in July, 2015, it was written by the minister that a Section 36 work plan would be submitted to the province by December 21st, this Friday, to the minister, ultimately outlining how the Source Protection Plan would be updated. And ultimately, through discussions with municipalities that have taken place over the last year and a half, there's been discussions about what technical work needs to be updated, what municipalities have plans to update that technical work, where there have been technical rule changes by the ministry to ultimately improve some of the technical work, where our technical work has to be revised to conform with those technical rules, that work plan has to be submitted to the province.
Okay. Slide 7 calls for water budgets. And the first water budget that I ever heard of was for Credit River Valley Authority did a study on Orangeville subwater shed 19, and there was a budget then for the entire town of Orangeville. And I had some sense that the water budgets here might be for much smaller scale projects. How far down a scale are we talking about?
As a matter of fact, the water budget work that took place under the Clean Water Act follows the director's technical rules that were submitted through the ministry and posted for the first time in 2009. And that water budget work takes place at a tiered level. So it begins at a tier one, which is the entire watershed. If it's determined that at the watershed level there is stress, then that means that the Source Protection Authority would then be able to move up to the next tier where they're looking at a sub-watershed level. And if at the sub-watershed level there's stress on the drinking water supply to provide the amount of water that is necessary, and that particular watershed has a drinking water system, municipal drinking water system, that is, within their boundaries, then that municipality or that drinking water system is moved up to a Tier 3. So if we go forward to this particular slide, where I've shown the boundaries of, this is called the Orangeville Mono Amaranth WAPA-Q, WAPA-Q for quantity. So this particular area went through what is called a Tier 3 water budget. So numerical modeling was done to delineate this area. And therefore, within this area, because there are significant threats related to water quantity, we were able to write water quality or water demand and water recharge policies in the source protection plan. So going back to your original question, you haven't heard of anything being done. Within the Credit Valley jurisdiction, there are three Tier 3 models, one here that I pointed out to you, and then the town of Halton, in the town of Halton Hills, it's really actually one, the Alton drinking water system and the Georgetown drinking water system, they have a Tier 3 water budget that has been completed. And then on the east side of our region, or rather central, within the Toronto and Region Conservation Authority jurisdiction, we have the York Tier 3 model, which is probably the biggest WAPA-Q in the province. It's huge. Most of York Region. It is huge. So within Caledon's jurisdiction, with the exception of this very small area, no water quantity policies apply. That said, I can tell you, and I do have my colleague Therese with me, that Peel Region is embarking on a rather extensive review and process by which they are updating their numerical modeling. And that particular work will be incorporated into our Section 36 update.
Okay. I think you meant Acton, not Alton.
Oh, did I mix it up again?
I got a couple of counselors saying Alton. No. That's Caledon. So I know where the goody well is that you're talking about now.
Thank you very much. Therese is probably chuckling back there. It's a common mistake, I think.
No, I just, for the record, I just know that I got two counselors saying, no, Alton.
No, Acton, Holland, Alton Hills, Alton, Peel, or Caledon. And no, there is no Tier 3 water budget around Alton.
The on the slide 17 that's up there, this red line.
Yes.
I guess lands to the northwest are inside it, we'll call it. What does that mean?
So ultimately, any application that comes into the town of Caledon that proposes a change in recharge ultimately would then, in terms of surface area of a particular development, would then trigger a discussion that takes place with the risk management office, which would include Therese, who's the risk management official with the Region of Peel, and her colleague Stefan. They have a very close working relationship with the town of Caledon, and ultimately there would be a dialogue in terms of whether or not there needs to be any feedback to the proponent with respect to the design of their development.
How would this deal with gravel strip mines? Most of the area inside that red line are prime aggregate resource areas. There's already been a strip mine basically down where the 136 labeled is on that map.
So the Rec 1 policy only applies to subdivisions or site plan approvals.
Well, there's a major omission for you. Slide 10, the Inglewood Well number 2.
Yes.
The first time I saw wellhead protection areas and sources for that particular well, it was a totally different shape.
So nothing has changed with the Inglewood 2. This is all, everything is as the same. Nothing has changed from the original plan approval.
That's your plan. That's not the first. See, the town of Caledon was way ahead of the game, and we did some of this work with the region and delineated these zones of influence for wells. And the so we changed our zoning bylaw to include those as zones, areas of concern for possible toxic land uses. And the design of the shape was entirely different.
So I could suppose that the reason for that is that when you actually did your delineation, it was based on, in fact, your own, shall we say, requirements that you chose, criteria, if you will, whereas these criteria are dictated in the director's technical rules and conform with the requirements that have been applied across the province. Mm-hmm. So what the methodology used here is no different from the methodology used on a well up in Thunder Bay or a well in southwestern mm-hmm. Ontario or a well in Ottawa.
All right.
And that's how we get around arbitrarily delineating.
So how are they interpreted? It's the surface water? How is it calculated?
Oh, well, a variety of...
Is it 20 feet deep, or is it surface water? How do you calculate the zones of influence?
The zones of influence are particularly calculated using particle tracking. So a groundwater model that is applied using a variety of constraints and criteria. And then ultimately this blue area means that Inglewood 2 is under the direct influence of surface water, which this is called the WAPA E. And that means that all the surface water that is delineated here in blue contributes to Inglewood 2. So okay. Therefore, the policies in our source protection plan, depending on the vulnerability afforded this particular area, let's say it's 7.2 or 6.3, a particular activity like spreading of manure would not be a significant threat in this particular area because the vulnerability is not high enough. However, if you were to spread the manure in 100 meters around the well, because you've got the most vulnerable area, and you've got an activity that could contribute a high source of pathogens, you would therefore get a significant threat. And therefore, we were afforded the opportunity to write policies in the source protection plan to either prohibit that threat for in the future or to manage it.
Well, okay. The strange shape that seems to... delineate the Credit River and minor tributaries. Are there any land use restrictions within that area?
Within the WAPA E, off the top of my head, I don't believe the vulnerability is high enough to prohibit certain activities. However, the Inglewood 2 system does have what's called an issues contributing area, which is associated to it. As a result of the issues evaluation that took place when the technical work was carried out, it was identified that there were a couple instances of pathogen exceedances. And mostly they were rare, but because they were rare and they were there, it afforded the Source Protection Committee the ability to designate that particular well as having that issue. And mostly that's because this well is perhaps the shallowest in the entire source protection region, if not in the one of the most shallow wells in the entire province. And that's why the Region of Peel is taking it upon themselves to remove Inglewood 2 from as a municipal drinking water source and bring Inglewood 4 online, because it is a deeper well and less prone to perhaps pathogen influence. So going back to, let me finish a train of thought. So within the issues contributing area, which I believe comes to about there, so it goes just to a portion of the WAPA E. So within that area, there would be a restriction on certain agricultural activities and certain septic or sewage related activities.
Okay, how do I find out in detail the coverage of that? gray to me from here, but green on the computers.
Well, I would be happy to work with you so that you can understand the policies and how they apply in the source protection plan. Also, the Region of Peel staff have been working with Town of Caledon staff to actually implement the policies, because as the land use planning authority, the Town of Caledon is ultimately responsible for the policies that have been directed to the Planning Approval Authority. And this goes back to Councillor Innes's point about the Bill 66, which ultimately is suggesting a circumvention of Section 39 of the Clean Water Act, which are the significant threat policies related to land use planning.
Well, I am interested in this in particular, because it looks like what's green on the slide there may affect my land.
Well,
I may have a conflict of interest, but I don't know yet. I don't have sufficient information to deal with that. So I need to find out specifically on my property what the restrictions might be and whether my property is affected at all.
You will not have a conflict interest, because it's interest in common, because it's shared with water, but influence, I think. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Well, actually, Councillor Sinclair would not have a conflict of interest, because actually nothing related to the Inglewood 2 system is changed from what has been approved. So these amendments relate to Inglewood 4, not Inglewood 2. So you're voting on the amendments as they're proposed in the document in front of you have very little to do with Inglewood 2 directly. Okay. And this work, the public consultation that took place in terms of the development of the source protection plan, first of all, preceded me. I came on board in 2015 just to implement the plan. But certainly there was public consultation in 2010, 2012, and then 2014, I believe, where municipal clerks should have been engaged and afforded the opportunity to submit comments.
Well, I wasn't on council during the Souls period, and now on council, and this mm-hmm. is before me, so I have to pay attention.
Absolutely. It's drinking water. We all should pay attention.
Yes. Slide 13, significant groundwater recharge map, seems to cover just about everything in the north part of Caledon.
Yes.
How do we find out what the particular policies mean for that?
Once again, I could provide you with that information afterwards, but first of all, because you cannot have a significant threat within the significant groundwater recharge areas, in terms of that vulnerable area, there are four vulnerable areas under the Clean Water Act, and significant groundwater recharge areas are one of them. And because you can't have a significant threat within that jurisdiction because of the vulnerability score, you can't have a significant threat policy. However, the CTC Source Protection Plan is one of the plans in the province that actually has policies directed at moderate and low threats. And as a result of that, the municipality or the Planning Approval Authority, and the Ministry, in fact, there is a policy directed at them, must consider those policies but are not legally obligated to actually implement them. But to answer your question, the policies that apply to these areas are specifically related to the handling and storage of heavy chemicals in industrial, commercial, and institutional uses, as well as the handling and, or rather, the application of road salt.
Okay. I guess then slide 16 mentions site alteration. How fine a detail or site is covered there? A site alteration can mean a very broad range of activities.
Well, and this is one of the reasons why this particular policy was revisited, specifically because of the size of the WAPA quantity in York Region. The lower tier municipalities, such as Caledon, were finding it very difficult to actually implement the policy as it was originally written into the Source Protection Plan, because different sites, different development applications have different constraints on them, and the Planning Approval Authority wanted to have the flexibility, if you will, to use their expert judgment, given the fact that these are professionals that have credentials, to make a decision that would, in fact, be protective of their water while recognizing the intent of the policy in the plan. So in terms of site alteration, I would throw that right back to the planner, the development planner, for them to determine whether or not there are something should be included or out of scope.
Well, does that mean someone applying for, I don't know, a new equestrian center, private equestrian center, do they have to, they will certainly be modifying a site?
Yes, but likely as a result of it being a rural use, we've added that bottom provision in place that if the total impervious surface does not exceed 10% per lot, which generally would not be the case on an equestrian center, then this policy wouldn't apply.
All right.
So once again, we are trying to become less restrictive.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
Thank you. Through you to Jennifer. Just to follow on Councillor Innes's comments regarding the source water protection in Bill 66, I did make an inquiry to the Commissioner of Public Works at the Region of Peel to see how Bill 66 is going to impact source water protection. And I know that when we had the Clean Water Drinking Act, the region did do a ton of work on that, making sure that we are right in compliance and that. So they are looking into it. We have they will be having their lawyers also have a look at it and see what the implications are. Once they do that, we will, I'm sure that they will provide something to us here in Caledon as well. And I'm sure they'll be working with our staff here also, because it does have implications for us. So they are trying to understand it, the implications, and they are getting their legal people to look at it as well.
Through you, Mr. Mayor,
yes.
If I might just suggest to, in the interim, becoming more familiar with the content of what Bill 66 is saying with respect to the Clean Water Act. The Canadian Environmental Law Association did probably the most comprehensive review to date that I've seen. It's a 10-page brief, and it's done by legal counsel. And it really does delve into the weeds about how the implications of Bill 66. I will mention, though, that the source protection plan, specifically the CTC source protection plan, has a number of land use planning policies that complement other policies that are directed through the ministries of the Environment, Conservation and Parks, or Natural Resources and Forestry, or the Part 4 powers under the Clean Water Act, such as risk management or prohibition. So having that redundancy in place, in fact, helps us just in case nothing changes with Bill 66, but it will impact some policies in the plan.
Absolutely, and I know we just got something from AMO regarding Bill 66, and they're keeping a very close eye on that as well and looking at all of the implications with the bill. So I guess it's just a matter of time before we really understand it, because I really don't understand it.
I had to read it about 20 times.
Yeah,
I had
Section
47 of the Planning Act in several pieces, just because it's the idiosyncrasies of legalese. Mm-hmm. But I would suggest that when you are speaking to staff with respect to or the bill and comments on the bill, that they, if the section that specifically relates to the Clean Water Act, because you do have a tangible interest in your drinking water supplies, that you suggest that they coordinate with the region, both Region Appeal, but also with the CTC Source Protection Region, because we're supposed to be sort of the experts. And we would be happy to provide input that we've obtained from AMO, from Conservation Ontario, and from the Source Protection Programs Branch.
And maybe, Jennifer, you can just send me an email with respect to that, and I will pass it on to the Commissioner.
I'd be happy to.
Perfect. Thank you.
Councillor Kiernan.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Just a quick question. In regards to the change from on slide 10 in Inglewood, do you have any idea what the timeline on that is?
That is an excellent question,
Councillor
Kiernan. So which allows a segue to a new piece of legislation that was brought into effect earlier this year, midway through this year on July 1st. The Regulation 20518 was passed under the Safe Drinking Water Act, which now requires that before a drinking water works permit is provided to the operating authority of a drinking water system, the vulnerable areas and everything related to them has to be in the source protection plan approved by the province before, in fact, they could supply water. And that is done so that the policies in the source protection plan can apply, because unless it's in the source protection plan assessment report, the policies don't apply. So I've been working very closely with the Region of Peel. We've had great support from the Source Protection Programs Branch. We've actually submitted the amendments already with the condition that this resolution from the Town of Caledon and the remaining resolution, which is only in part from the Region of Peel, would follow shortly thereafter. We're hoping that the approval will come as soon as the Region of Peel provides their endorsement letter, which is expected at the February council meeting, but they've already fast-tracked the approval process through to the ADM, and we're hoping that by March 1st there will be an amendment, or the amendments will be approved, and then it's my understanding that the Region Appeal will begin operationalizing Inglewood 4. Inglewood 2 would continue to be operated for a year basis as a backup well, but Inglewood 4 is planning to be brought online in approximately March following the approval. Okay. And I'm just going to look to my colleague, Therese. Yes? Yes? Okay. Okay. So everybody's waiting with bated breath.
Thank you very much.
You're
so
welcome.
That sounds like it'll be quick.
Because we've been working
health
very
and safety issues here, obviously we should be concerned.
Well, I think that the redundancies with the requirements to actually incorporate the source protection, or rather Clean Water Act requirements, into the environmental assessment process is a great thing. We've been asking for this for a great many years. I've been involved in the program for 12 years, so this is great. However, the problem with this particular well, and Peel is not the only municipality caught, there was no transition. It was posted on the Environmental Bill of Rights on December 22nd last year, and it became law on July 1st. There was no transition. So it didn't afford the Region of Peel any opportunity to, in fact, get all the X's and O's in place. So as a result of that, the Region of Peel has taken every means necessary to do the appropriate technical steps and made it a priority so that they can bring the system online.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Jennifer, I think you've answered everything quite well, and thank you for coming and sharing this with us tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. The following recommendations from General Committee report dated December 11, 2018. The first lot is moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Early, that December 11, 2018 General Committee report recommendations regarding the following consent items be adopted. Staff report 2018-98 regarding Doug and Doreen Beffert Legacy Scholarship Award. Staff report 2018-99 regarding 2018 School Green Fund recommendation. Staff report 2018-91 regarding 2019 interim borrowing. Staff report 2018-93 regarding 2019 interim property tax levy. Staff report 2018-95 regarding tax collector role adjustment under Section 354 of the Municipal Act 2001. Staff report 2018-101 regarding the repeal hearing tribunal procedural bylaw, amendment of property standards bylaw to establish an appeal board, a property standards committee, and accessibility advisory committee report dated November 22nd, 2018. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Early, that December 11th, 2018 General Committee report recommendation. Staff report 2018-96 re 2018
Callan Council Community Golf Tournament financials be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Sinclair, second by Councillor Innes. December 11, 2018, General Committee Report, Recommendation Regarding Staff Report 2018-90, Proposed 2019 OPP Budget, and the 2020 to 2022 projections be adopted. All in favor? Thank you. Moved by Councillor Groves, second by Councillor Downey, that December 11, 2018, General Committee Meeting Report Recommendation Regarding Staff Report 2018-92, 2019 Council Meeting Schedule be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Innes, that December 11, 2018, General Committee Report Recommendation Staff Regarding Staff Report 2018-104, Integrity Commissioner, one-year contract be extended, extension be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Innes, second by Councillor Groves, that December 11, 2018, General Committee Report Recommendation Regarding Staff Report 2018-102, Committee of Adjustment Procedural Bylaw be adopted. All in favor? Opposed? Okay. Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Sinclair, that December 11, 2018, General Committee Meeting Report Recommendation Regarding 2018-94, Proposed Active Transportation Task Force in Terms of Reference be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Groves, that December 11, 2018, General Committee Report Recommendation Regarding Staff Report 2018-100, Proposed Amendment on the Terms of Reference for Accessibility Advisory Committee, Heritage Caledon Committee, and Seniors Task Force be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Kiernan, second by Councillor Sinclair, that December 11, 2018, General Committee Report Recommendation Regarding Notice of Motion Water Servicing for Alton Legion be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Kiernan, December 11, 2018, General Committee Report Recommendation Regarding Rural Ontario Municipalities, Roma Zone 4, Notice of Call for Nominations be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Kiernan, second by Councillor DeBoer, that December 11, 2018, General Committee Report Recommendation Regarding Appointments of the Toronto Region Conservation Authority, Regional Watershed Alliance be adopted. All in favor? Carried. Okay. All right. Now we'll go into closed session. Can I have a mover, please? Moved by Councillor Sinclair. Second by Councillor Rosa. All in favor? Carried. So we'll ask everybody either first and then I'll ask. Moved by Ian Sinclair, or Councillor Sinclair. Do I have a seconder? Councillor DeBoer. Okay. Moved by Councillor Sinclair, second by Councillor DeBoer, that the confidential staff report 2018-23 regarding the advice that this that is subject to solicitor client privilege and litigation or potential litigation affecting the municipality be received, and that staff be directed to initiate proceedings before the Ontario Supreme Court of Justice to set out in a confidential staff report 2018-23. That staff be authorized to draw up to $50,000 on external legal costs related to injunction to the town's operating contingency reserve. All in favor? Opposed? Carried. Okay. What do we got next? correspondence. Is there anything else from the correspondence package? I know, Councillor DeBoer, you had one thing. Is there anything else that needs to be brought forward? Oh, sorry. We got some here. Thank you. Moved by Councillor DeBoer, second by Councillor Innes, that Joanna Downey be nominated to the Board of Directors of the Ontario Good Roads Association, OGRA, for 2019 to 2021 term. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Innes, that the clerk be directed to add recorded vote on April 17, 2018, Town Council minutes as requested at the Region Appeal for all-day street parking on Queen Street. And that's in Alton, correct?
Doesn't say Alton.
Bolton. Oh, God, Bolton. It's a long day. But we've got several Queen Streets. Should we mention Bolton? Yeah. I think we should. I'm going to do that just as an amendment. All in favor? Carried. If there's nothing further in the correspondence, I will now move on to announcements. Councillor DeBoer, do you have any announcements? Anybody on this side? On this side, any announcements? Councillor Ennis.
I'm surprised Councillor DeBoer didn't mention it. We will be hosting our first Christmas tree lighting for the Harvest Moon subdivision in partnership with St. Nicholas School on this Thursday, December the 20th at 6:30, and the community is welcome to come and sing carols and have hot chocolate and get festive. And thank you to the sponsorship of Tim Hortons, Canadian Tire, and DG Group. Thanks. Okay.
Anybody going to mention Winterfest, the first Sunday in January at Mayfield Recreation Facilities, 1 to 4? We'll see everybody there. Used to be known as the Mayor's Levy, but I think it's a good event. Encourage everybody to come out. Free swimming, free skating, hot dogs, and cake. So, and we'll have fire trucks. Council inquiries, anything over here? Councillor DeBoer? Councillor St. Clair?
Canvassing during the election, I ran across director of the Brampton Flying Club, and he really didn't want to listen to my spiel at all. He wanted to tell me about his frustration of trying to get some letter he needed from the town to the Department of Transport regarding, I think, a new airport plan or some planning issues in the airport. And the conversation went around a bit, and he announced that the then lawyer, Constantine, was going to leave at the end of November, and said that they'd been through several town lawyers. So does anyone know what this letter is needed to do?
Yeah. Laura? Oh, yes. Alana?
Through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Sinclair. It's interesting you raised this matter. I was just looking at this matter today. It is being attended to. I believe planning staff anticipate bringing a report forward in the new year, and we have been having conversations with the applicant. I have received, or legal staff has received, what materials we required to be satisfied. I'm not indicating whether or not we're satisfied, but we are under review of the materials that we requested at this point in time, and we are in correspondence with them.
Okay, it's a big economic development opportunity for us to have that airport there, so I'm glad to hear things are in the works. I guess the other inquiry I have is the Caledon Bell Fountain Strip Mine Comprehensive Rehabilitation Plan process. And as an incoming councillor, there was absolutely no approach by town staff to brief me on the state of this very important initiative, and it has significant long-term economic development impact in terms of employment and recreation for Caledon. From what I understand, the study area and the process so far is not fit for purpose. I attempted to raise this with staff, requesting a meeting, and I received what I think is probably the most unprofessional, rude response that I've ever had from any staff of any agency or town. Basically, they said, "We'll see you in a month and a half. We're busy." So what I need the inquiry then is, could someone please write out specifically what the relationship is between a member of council and staff? People keep telling me things have changed here since I was last here 14 years ago. Well, you bet it has, and it's not nice, and it's not professional. Thank you.
Okay. I'll ask the CEO to respond to that.
Yes, through you, Mayor Thompson, to Councillor Sinclair. Councillor, I haven't heard from you on this matter, but I certainly would welcome a discussion. I know where to get you. You know where to get me. So we'll do that in the next day or so. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Downey.
Thank you, through Mayor Thompson, and my apologies because I missed it while we were moving along and through inquiries and announcements, but I'm wondering if we can backtrack a little bit in terms of our guests here from Source Water Protection. I believe that they're looking for an endorsement. I'm happy to put that on the floor at this point.
Yes, I've got the motion here. I'm sorry, we should have caught that. So you'll move it. Councillor Innes, can I get you to second it since you're both on conservation? Moved by Councillor Downey, second by Councillor Innes, that the amendments of the Credit Valley, Toronto Region, and Central Lake Ontario CTC Source Protection Plan be endorsed as outlined in the correspondence dated October 28, 2018, and the amendments to the CTC Source Protection Plan. Any discussion? None? Okay. All in favor? Carried. Thank you, Councillor Downey. If there's no further inquiries, is there any other inquiries on this side? No? Okay, good. I'll now move on to bylaws. Moved by Councillor Grove, second by Councillor Kiernan, that the following bylaws be read first time and passed. Bylaw 2018-77, the bylaw to authorize temporary borrowing of money to meet the current expenditures of the Council of the Corporation of the Town of Caledon. Bylaw 2018-78, bylaw to provide interim tax levy for 2019 collection thereof. Bylaw 2018-79, bylaw to appoint an acting mayor for 2018 to 2022 or 22 term of council. Bylaw 218-80, bylaw to establish the rules governing calling place proceedings, providing public notice and hearings of Committee of Adjustment of the Town of Caledon, and repealing the Committee of Adjustment bylaw 2015-008, bylaw 2018-81, bylaw to establish the appeal board as rules of procedure to repeal bylaw 2015-021, bylaw 2018-82, bylaw to amend the bylaw 98-155 to amend the being a bylaw to establish standards of maintenance and occupy of property in the Town of Caledon. Bylaw 2018-83, bylaw to deem lots 1 and 2 of Plan 959 Bolton not to be parts of Plan of Subdivision. Bylaw 2018-84, bylaw to assume Atchison Drive, Billy Court, McClary Court, Lizzie Court, McCarty Court, Plan 43M-1921. Bylaw 2018-85, bylaw to exempt certain lands, part lot control, named Zero Humbershed Crescent, legally described as 1, 2, and 3, and blocks 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 on 43M-2048, lots 29 and 39, and blocks 262 and 263, 264 and 265 on Plan 43M-1548. Bylaw 2018-86, bylaw to exempt certain lands from part lot control, namely Zero Bonnie Glen Boulevard, legally described as blocks 109, 110, 111, Plan 43M-2051. Bylaw 2018-87, bylaw to amend procedural bylaw 215-108 with respect to the standing committees to repeal bylaw 2009-140, 2013-038, and 2013-049. All in favor? Carried. Moved by Councillor Kiernan, second by Councillor Sinclair, that the following bylaws be read the first time finally passed. Bylaw 2018-88, that to confirm the proceedings of Council of the Corporation of the Town of Caledon at this Council meeting held the 18th day of December 2018. All in favor? Carried. Councillor Sinclair, you want to move adjournment?
So move.
So move. Merry Christmas, everybody. Have a safe home, and we'll see everybody first next year. Thank you very much, everybody. Meeting adjourned.